Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after, and I'm glad you're listening. Great to be with you, as always. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and our website is www.jbsba.com. That stands for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Just remember that and make that into an acronym and add a .com on the end, and you'll be right there where you can read articles and hear archives and hear this show replayed for 24 hours, unless it's Friday's show, and it's up all weekend, on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want to listen. If you can get the Internet, you can hear the show. So check that out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Tim Berry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is an old friend and a longtime original member of our Brain Trust, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, the makers of the world's best business planning software, and one of my sponsors, one of my valuable sponsors of this show. Tim Berry, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. And what's on your mind today is something I think is very important to talk about, and I've done a little bit of it over the years on this show. I've written a number of times about it, but it's something we haven't talked about in a long time, and that is what to do with the money that you have available to capitalize your company. And I'm just going to let you tell us about some of your perspectives on it first.
Well, my perspective began many years ago when I was first starting up a business before Palo Alto Software. As I was struggling along, I had lunch with one of my good friends who listened and sometimes advised me, listened to me, and in this case, advised after talking about some of the problems getting going. His advice at that time was, Tim, you're $20,000 short on what you need to start this business. I was doing some marketing consulting, business planning way back. And his point with the $20,000 short was that my little company was going to be judged by things like office furniture and stationery and logos, and in one case, the way a report was formatted and presented. And in his mind, $20,000 was not a huge amount. The business was generating consulting revenues and so on. But he was trying to make the point that sometimes you need to have the right amount of money to make sure that your business starts, because without it, you won't really get a good test of the business. Without the right amount of money, and he means just enough, he means that critical list of what we need, you're going to be losing customers.
So in other words, you could have a wonderful idea, a great model, a great business model, but if it doesn't, you could have an automobile that will get you wherever you need to go, but if you don't put enough gas in the tank, it's not going to get you there.
Oh, yes, exactly.
It doesn't help you to have the greatest vehicle in the world if you don't have the fuel.
Exactly. And there was an issue in this case. We were doing reports on the market in Latin America, and the issue was spending the money to have the graphics on the outside of the reports look professional.
Mm-hmm.
We're going way back in technology days before
right.
desktop publishing, but that was the point. If you don't have enough to get to the minimum critical mass in this, wait was his advice. Wait, get that much. $20,000 was such that I ended up taking out a small second mortgage on my house to do
it. Back in those days, that was a blink level, wasn't it?
But if you have to write the checks, it was, to me, $20,000 was a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. That's a blink level.
Oh,
that's,
I see what you mean.
Twenty something years ago, that would have made me blink.
Well, and it did me, but it also taught me the lesson, because I did hire the graphic guy and I did do the second mortgage. It taught me a lesson that just as you start or before you start, it is really worth it if you go through and list everything that you need before you start, and you stay disciplined about it to really include things that you need, like the graphic artist to do the cover, for example, or in the restaurant, the tables, the chairs, the signage, the cooking equipment. A lot of businesses that you're going to start are going to have essentially a list of what's important for these businesses. And that list is going to be your startup cost.
And if you can't capitalize that to get to that level, that minimum wow level, then that's when you decide that you don't have enough capital and you go back and go to plan B. Stand by, Tim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend, Tim Berry, the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, and the president of Palo Alto Software. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we're going to be visiting with Barbara Weltman, Rick Pinion, Steve Thomas, and Joanna Brandy. Now, this is Memorial Day. This will be Memorial Day, our Memorial Day show, and Steve Thomas is with the American Legion, and he's going to join us to talk to us about what Memorial Day means and what the American Legion is doing to make it to make life a little bit better for veterans. Barbara Weltman is going to join us to talk about how the new tax code that's going to be signed probably on Monday by the president, how that's going to specifically affect small business. I'm doing four shows in a week about this. We just did one with Don Lambro about the politics of the plan. We're going to do one about the small business issues of the plan, the president's plan on Monday. On Wednesday, we're going to talk to Ray Keating about the national economics and maybe even the global economic impact of the plan. And then on next Friday, we're going to talk to Steve Moore about the Republican politics of the plan, how this has all played out and inside the Republican Party, and where there have been the president's had his own problems. So we've got four different shows we're going to do on this plan, which I think is a big deal. This is very important to me. And Tim Berry, I don't know if you've been tracking. This is a little bit off our topic, but as you know, it looks like the president's going to sign another tax reduction into law on Monday.
Yeah, so it looks to me like our economy has stayed down for a long time now.
Yep.
And that they haven't done very much for it, and that it's amazing how it's been 2-3 years now, hasn't it? And I think that's at all levels of the economy.
Yeah, it is. And something's got to be done. One of the things that's got to be done, Tim, and I don't know if you agree with me about this, but we've got to get capital back into the businesses, especially small businesses. And one of the ways to do that is to lower our taxes, get the working capital so we can buy more business planning software and develop and buy the computers to run that business planning software and hire more employees. And so Which brings us back to what we're talking about here, which is the capital that we need to run our businesses and how to get that capital into the company. That's an area that a lot of people are confused about, isn't it, Tim? How to get the capital into the company.
Take the instance of the $20,000 that you need, and let's just get over how we list it, and you need $20,000. Normally, that $20,000 goes into the company. The company becomes a new entity, and it goes into the bank account, and it goes into the books as what they call paid-in capital. So I've got $20,000 in expenses before I start, and then I need to match that with capital, so I got $20,000 in paid-in capital. I have some options on that, but before we go there, what I find confuses people most often is, so if there's more than one person involved, who owns the company? What if your Aunt Minnie puts in the $20,000 because she believes in you? You do the research. She puts in the $20,000. How do people decide who owns what in the company? Company being either a fictitious business name, DBA type thing, or a corporation or LLC, really. I find that people don't understand, and Jim, you and I, what do we think Aunt Minnie should get, and how does she get it if she put in $20,000 for us because she trusts that we're going to be good boys and do a good business?
Well, see, what I would do is I'd ask Aunt Minnie how she wants to, how she would like to be repaid. I would say, Aunt Minnie, when do you want your money back? And if Aunt Minnie says, I'm going to let you have it for a year, then I would say, then you need to make me a loan. And if she said, look, I think you're going to do great things with this thing. You know, I've got a few more years to live, and I'd like to think that in 10 years, you know, you're gonna grow this thing and maybe go public or sell it, and I want a piece of that action. Then you got some equity capital there.
And then you have the interesting situation that is frequently misunderstood, which is now you have to figure out how many shares Aunt Minnie is going to own. And let's, by the way, just assume that we've said there are 100 shares in this business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand that there's no government agency or rules exactly on how many shares. We decree how many shares there
right.
are.
And typically, when you incorporate, most attorneys will make it 1,000.
So call it 1,000 shares.
Okay.
How many shares, if Aunt Minnie says, maybe we'll ask Aunt Minnie how many she wants. She may say, oh, well, I want to own the company.
Mm-hmm.
And she might say, oh, I trust you. You be fair. Give me a little piece of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the formula for what's right is the question.
Right. My experience has been that you know, it depends on what the level of participation is. If it's all her money and I just have an idea and she, you know, and a lot of, as you say, a lot of it depends on whether she trusts you or not. But the main thing is, there are two issues. One is what's equitable, but also who's in control of the voting stock.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly, because if we give Aunt Minnie 60 shares of the 100 or 600 of the 1,000 because she's put in all the money, then she also has in this corporation legal ownership.
And she has the ability to fire the founder who's running the business.
So people don't. The reason I bring this up is people frequently don't understand that, number one, money that's invested in the company. Whoops, shall we?
Go ahead. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Money that's invested in the company goes into paid-in capital, and it belongs to the company as an investment, if it's not borrowed.
And it stays in the company until the company is sold or dissolved. And we're going to talk about, after this, we're going to talk about the difference between that paid-in capital and loaned money that's loaned to the company. Two different things, two different strategies, actually, also. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Tim Berry.
What would you do if I sang out of tune?
We're back at 7 till. Tim Berry is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. Tim, your website is paloalto.com. Also, the one that I know you like to give first, bplans.com, which is where people can go and see how many now, something under 100 business plans that they can take a look at, real business plans?
Yeah, there's 65 or 70 sample business plans and then 30 sample marketing plans, 10 sample web plans, 10 sample advertising plans. So we are more than 100 sample plans completely.
These are plans, folks. If you've never seen a business plan, go to bplans.com and noodle around on his site there, and you'll see what they actually look like. And I think that's a wonderful way for you to find out what you want your business plan to look like, especially if you've never seen one. I think, Tim, and we won't get into this because we've done it before and we'll do it again in the future, but I think that's one of the reasons people don't do business plans is they don't know what one looks like. And Palo Alto Software has fixed that with bplans.com, B-P-L-A-N-S.com. Tim, let's get back into the issue here at hand, and that is whether to loan the company money or whether to invest the company money into the company in the form of capital. If you put it in as capital, you can't get it out as a privately held company because there's no aftermarket for your shares. And until you sell it or dissolve it or go public, that capital stays in there. But let's say you got that $20,000 you talked about. You can put $2,000 into the company as capital and loan the company $18,000 and including interest the company can pay interest and repay that debt whenever it can over the next year or 10 years. It can repay that debt, so you can get that capital out of the company if you need to.
Without paying taxes on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And including interest. There's an imputed interest rate that the government will want you to pay.
Or
and
else that you, they'll pay capital, yeah. Mm-hmm. I find a lot of founders use, when they put their own money into the business, they'll use the loan, even if they never pay it back, they'll use the loan classification instead of the capital classification because it gives them the possibility of bringing the money back.
That's exactly right. But I will tell you this. Your banker, now if you're trying to make your banker happy, he would rather see the $20,000 in his capital.
Oh, always. Yes.
They like paid. They like paid in capital.
Well, then the bank can loan if there's some capital where it couldn't if it's just a loan.
Right. But most of the time we're trying to keep ourselves happy before we keep our banker happy.
Well, that depends on how much money you need.
That's right. That's right.
The other one I see that I want a chance to explain to people really is that the setting of who owns the stocks, the founders, the ones that are working the company, get to have some of those shares because they started the company.
Right.
And sometimes they don't understand that if Aunt Minnie puts $20,000 in and they aren't putting anything in, it doesn't mean that she owns the whole company.
Right.
On the other hand, and before I leave that thought, this is done by agreement between the founders, and usually there's a lawyer involved, and it's just written down. Mm-hmm. We're going to have 1,000 shares, and Ralph owns 250, and Mabel owns 250, and Aunt Minnie owns 250, and somebody else has 250, mm-hmm. or maybe they keep the 250 for somebody they're going to have to hire in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So they determine ownership by agreement and negotiation. It's not in the beginning, it's not necessarily just exactly according to who puts in how much money.
Right.
And that last 250 shares that they didn't dole out, they found it with 1,000 shares and they dole out 750. Well, the business gets rolling and it looks like it's doing really well, and suddenly somebody else comes in and wants the last 250 shares or wants to invest in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Then the price is whatever price they determine at that time. So those last 250 shares might be sold for $100,000.
A lot more than the 20.
Got 20,000.
Exactly.
And that affects the value of the shares of the founders who didn't put in any money but started the company.
Tim, we got about 30 seconds. The bottom line here is there are a lot of different ways to structure the capitalization of your company and the way the stocks are allocated. But you need to think about it a little bit, and you probably need to get a little help from somebody, don't you?
Absolutely. Those are the times when you want to call a lawyer.
Yeah, a lawyer, and also maybe get an accountant or somebody who specializes in this kind of activity. Tim Berry, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Oh, thank you.
We'll see you next time. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, PaloAltoSoftware.com. Check it out when you get a chance. You know there are good folks there. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.